Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday night. And it is June the 12th of the year of our Lord 2021. And this is your host, Usama Dakdak, from where I am tonight is a good question. Here we go, the Lake of the Ozark in Missouri, Sunrise City, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit later where I'll be speaking tomorrow and Monday evening, if you are interested to be with me in the flesh. And here with us tonight, our producer, our co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Usama, I'm doing great. God is good. I'm still alive, and I really can't figure that out. But hey, it's because God is so good. You know, he's taking care of me, and, you know, in my advanced age.
Yes, ma'am. With your old age, you count every day a blessing. Isn't that true?
Well, you know, it is true, but the good thing that I have learned is that depending on the Lord every day, then the years go by and your faith is built every day that he is taking care of you. Your faith is greater. In the worst times that we go through, that is the time when we see how powerful, how good, and how much we can trust Jesus. So we have to thank him every day. Even though the day may have its trouble and may be difficult, those are the days we learn how great our God is.
Yeah, I almost heard you laughing in the back here when I'm trying to remember where I am, what city I'm in. But last week, it was a beautiful week. I have a great time with many members of our family. A good 35, 40 of them or so show up in a family reunion. From different states, and we all gather here in Branson, Missouri. And then this was last night, as our last night this morning. Everybody traveled, everybody gone, and here I am in the Lake of the Ozark, and my mind is like, I'm thinking where I am. I'm trying to think, where I remember where I am. Okay, I'm here. Okay, good. So anyway, As usual, I cannot remember where I am. But at least I know which state I'm in. So, okay, you don't have to laugh at me. I'm in Missouri.
Hey.
Okay, at least I remember that.
You're better all the time, Usama. The more you travel, the more you know where you're at. In the years past, sometimes I'm telling you, you knew you were in the United States on a highway, but you weren't sure where.
There was some time when I was on the border, but I could not remember. Is it Canada or America? So I said, I'm in North America. I know for sure I am in North America, but now I know actually more than that. So God is good. All right. Well, Christy, it's been a week, and so much stuff happened in the last week. First of all, did you have any chance to watch the rally where here in Wisconsin, Brand House with 20,000 plus people, I believe, in that rally? Have you had any chance to see any of it?
Yes, I saw a good portion of it. I saw the president speaking, and I saw Mike Lindell. The rally was taking place during the day, and I had tried to catch it, but I was having a real hard time getting stuff done for the show tonight and watching it. But I did see a good portion of it, and you know, it's awesome and amazing that we see Americans turning out because they love America, and they are not afraid to stand up for what they believe in. And friends, we need to learn from that, because we are seeing people in the United States persecuted just for standing up for the belief in this country, for being a patriot. We're seeing, you know, there's people that have been arrested that are still in jail. We need to pray for them because it is real persecution in this country.
Yeah, I was talking to Brennan last night and said, hey, why didn't you let me know about this rally in Albany? I said, come on down. You know, if you want to meet us, come tomorrow in Wisconsin. I said, I can. I said, I have to travel. I have a speaking engagement Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I could not be there. But there's some other rallies coming up, too. I think they're going to be playing. And I'm hoping maybe in the near future I will join these rallies. I really would love to meet with Michael face-to-face and talk with him. Perhaps this will open for us a new opportunity to have a different platform to speak the truth and to educate the American people about this topic, the topic of Islam, as we'll see from our program tonight and as we have been doing for the last, how many years now, Christy, we've been on doing this show?
I don't know. Now I'm lost on the map.
15 years, I believe. Almost 15 years.
Yeah,
we're doing this
podcast. We're in our 15th year, I think, Usama. So it's been a good long time.
It's quite fun,
But you know what's interesting is, as you mentioned, I love Mike Lindell. I really want to encourage people. I posted some things about his television network, Lindell TV, on Frank Speech. We know that our friend Brandon House and has been very involved in helping with the production of that, and his son. So we have some wonderful, brave, and amazing people that are working on behalf. But, you know, Mike Lindell has been really the spearhead of not letting go of the things that happened in the election and continuing that fight. So I hope you'll go on MyPillow and buy products. You can put in the code word Frank. That helps support the Frank Speech rally. The Real America's Voice and OAN have also been big supporters of Mike Lindell. So you can catch some really good programming that Well, you know, Usama, I want us to get into some really important topics. What we're seeing right now in the world is pretty depressing. And if we ever thought that it was important to understand Islam in the past, and it always has been, I believe now more than ever, the American people need to wake up to what Islam is, because it is going to work with every other evil in this country in order to try and destroy America and the world, really, to bring it all under the power of Islam. So I hope people will be listening tonight as we're going to get into those topics. But I want to share something that I think is hopeful. And so we're seeing a revival happen in the country. You know, Mike Lindell keeps saying he believes there'll be a great revival as a result of what's happened in America, the pandemic, the election fraud, all of the things that have been taxing us as Americans to see the destruction of our freedom of speech. It's really hitting Americans hard. So I believe there's a good possibility that if Christians will pray, if they'll continue to seek God, if they'll be faithful to the word of God and not be crushed by their fear of being politically correct. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But if they'll just stand up for the truth and realize they're not the only one. Yes, we as true believers in Christ may be the minority, but you, with Jesus, are a majority, even if it's just one person. Do you believe that, Usama? I believe that.
Absolutely.
David against Goliath. He was the majority. Everyone else.
Before,
go ahead.
Yeah. The darker it gets, the more difficulty it will be for the church, the more brighter we will shine. If we take advantage and we are prepared for whatever time it comes. You know, it's amazing, as you're going to or the audience is going to hear one lady is going to be speaking tonight. The more I see that there are people are standing up and taking a stand, the more I feel jealous. Why can't Christians, why can't the church, why can't the believers stand up at such time as this and take a stand in the gap and say, hey, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let this go. And here I am. What are you going to do to me? Go ahead. You're going to kill the flesh. Go ahead. Make my day. Take me to heaven. That's what you're going to do. And if we can have a little bit boldness and get rid of this foolishness and stupidity of political correctness. And but here's what the point, Christy. I'd like to see Christians standing up, but don't stand up and mock Christ and Christianity by being presenting your ignorance of the topic. So I get so upset when I go to a board meeting, as we're going to see tonight in that board meeting, and I see people stand up to speak against the teaching of Islam in our school. And all what I hear from them is they're telling me, well, I'm here to tell the truth. Muslims have no right to do that and this and that, but I know nothing about Islam, and I know nothing about Christianity, and we Christians must have more rights than that. And they are not educated about the topic, Christy. So the school board will ask, What's the problem? What's your problem? Well, there's 200 pages in the book, 50 about Islam and 2 about Christianity. Wait a minute, that's not the issue. I don't mind to have the whole book about the Quran, but we need to expose the lies which Muslims teach about Islam and the falsehood which the liberals are trying to put on Christianity. We need to expose whatever in these pages. It's not about number of pages. You heard it from somebody and you repeat it. No, how about you reading the book? Educate yourself about what's in the book, and then you can speak about the falsehood and the truth about what's in the book. And then when you speak to the school board, then you have a value. You have your voice have a way, not just some noise and some smoke, and you stand up and make fool of yourself, and they literally kick you out of the school board meeting. Get out of here. You're uneducated. You're foolish. You are a terrorist. I mean, literally, I have some Americans who are called terrorists in some of these board meetings because they talk without intelligence. They did not know what they're talking about. Do you follow me, Christine?
Well, yes, I do, and that's one reason why I think you like what this woman has to say, because she had documented, she had education. She wasn't speaking about Islam being taught in the school, but we already know, Usama, that's been going on for years. Years that's been going on. But now what they're doing is they're also bringing in, not only do we have the lies about Islam, but now we're bringing in critical race theory. If anybody hears the phrase CTR, that's what it stands for, critical race theory. And this is causing so much division. And what does Satan love? He loves his division. So we can be against one another. We're not going to come together to reach people for Christ, because we're going to hate them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, first one I want to play you. You already know this person. I've become a fan of this guy. His name is Corey Yeshua. And he and his daughter did a little video. He only does these short videos. It's about a minute long on TikTok, which I have my issues with TikTok, but it is a very nice little thing. He's talking to his daughter and sharing about his thoughts on critical race theory. So listen to this. His daughter looks like she's maybe about 6 or 7. So here we go.
Daddy teaches you you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't Daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow. Right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not
and
what color
nice.
They are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See? This is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not going to happen. My baby's going to know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard, and she can become that.
Work hard even though you don't know anyone. You can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends, no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody. If they're good people, they love them.
We pray for people that are hurt.
Daddy.
Yeah, the little girl in the end, she said, we pray for people that are hurt. this little girl and her dad, they are black, and Corey Yeshua does a lot of different short clip videos on TikTok, and I've seen some really good stuff on his channel. So anyone that, you know, would like to check that out. He did a little short thing talking about being against critical race theory, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Yusuf. I'm sorry.
What I like about that black brother and his daughter, that they are standing, and I know they're going to be named all kind of names. They're going to be ridiculed by all those who are liberals on the new movement of Black Lives Matter and all this garbage. They are the ones who are literally planting division, creating division in America. But what I wish we had is not just this black brother. I wish we had some Christian ministers to take that stand. Christian believers all over the country. White before black to say, we're not going to allow them to do that to us. But you know what? Because of political correctness, Christy, people are afraid. People are afraid to take a stand, afraid to say, this is not going to happen in America in our watch. And so we're waiting for the black people to come up with these videos so we can use their videos to speak the truth about the evilness of what the education system is going through right now and what the ungodly, the dividers are doing in America. They're taking a higher voice. They're taking a higher road. They're doing more than what we Christian or conservative can do because we choose to be quiet. And I'm getting sick and tired of being quiet when they see these sick things happening all over this country.
Well, Yusama, I agree with you. I do think, though, that we are seeing this. There's this concept. Steve Bannon talks about it all the time. He says courage provokes courage. It takes a few people to step out there in front, and then more people follow. This lady, speaking to a New York school board, okay, she has lit a fire with what she had to say, and we're going to play it. It's kind of long, but if you listen to her, you will hear that the school board interrupts her several times and tries to tell her to stop talking. But you'll hear her come out to defend law enforcement, to defend children not being taught communism and other false doctrines. Indoctrination, as she talks about it in the school. That would go also with Islam, although she doesn't mention that. But here we go. I want you to hear her because following her speech and it catching fire really on the internet, we saw a Chinese lady who escaped from the communist Chinese come out and speak to a school board. We saw several other mothers and a father and a teacher all coming out and speaking against the teaching of critical race theory and the transgender teaching that's going on in the school, where now you have to ask children, this is insane, they come to class the first day and they say, what is your pronoun? We'll talk more about that because we're going to talk about a church that's doing that, but supposedly a Christian church, but they're doing that to kids in school. What is your pronoun? Yeah. And one of the mothers said, my child is 4 years old. You're asking, what is your pronoun? They don't even know what a pronoun is. So this is insanity that is coming in the schools. And this lady, she is not happy. And if you listen to her, I hope you'll get inspired to take some action too. Here we go.
Good evening. My name is Tatiana Ibrahim, and I'm here for the first time. I'm here tonight not only as a community member, but as a parent in this district. Recently, you sent out a survey wanting to know why parents were not voting yes for this budget. So my situation, my vote for no is a little different. I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves. I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. My message to this district and the members of the Board of Ed, stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic. You have no idea each child's life. You don't know what their family lifestyle consists of. You don't know the makeup of their life. You have children like mine who is Muslim, and I'm Christian, and everyone would think they would never believe that of her, right? Because the way she looks, or according to Miss Cyrus, she's too pasty white.
Ma'am, excuse me, I'm up here. We're not allowed to use names. If you have something you'd like to discuss about a specific person, you can call the superintendent or leave your info for her to call you tomorrow.
Why are we not allowed to discuss names? Why am I not allowed when they purposely themselves expose themselves on social media talking about calling for the death of a former president or saying that any child that doesn't believe in Black Lives Matter should be canceled out? Is this what my tax dollars is paying for? You're teaching my children and other children that if they believe in God Almighty, they're part of a cult. These educators put their own names out there. We have Mr. Barry, who took it upon himself with Ms. Cyrus to create a curriculum.
That should be it.
Do you want the proof? I have the proof. You created a curriculum of Black Panther indoctrination.
Ma'am.
You used taxpayers' dollars.
Can I ask you one more time? I have no issue hearing what you have to say, but...
Why can we not let the public speak? Why can't we let the public know that you're teaching our children to go out and murder our police officers? Do you want the proof? I have the proof. Is that what scares you, the proof? That a parent actually standing up against all of you? Is that what scares you, to call out the names of these people? You work for me. I don't work for you. You have a duty. We are entrusting our children to you. We teach our children morals, values, when they grow up to commit crimes and end up in prison and kill a police officer. It's our fault? No, it's your fault. You're emotionally abusing our children and mentally abusing them. You're demoralizing them by teaching them communist values. This is still America, ma'am. And as long as I'm standing here on this good ground earth of God, I will fight. And this is not the last of me you will see. I'm retired. I have nothing else better to do. We can do it peacefully, or we can take it to the highest court, because you know and I know I'm not the only parent fighting this all across America right now. Schools are trying to poison our children's minds, teaching them about things that they have no right to be taught in school.
So normally, no, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to just give you just a feedback for a moment. I have no problem having a peaceful discussion. This is not a peaceful discussion.
No, that's your opinion. See, here we go again. This is peaceful. To me, this is peaceful.
Well,
I'm not burning, looting, and murdering. This is peaceful.
I did not accuse you of that, but I don't have a problem having a conversation with you, a peaceful conversation, which is, this is not.
$6.95 per child in the middle school to buy a curriculum from readtome.org that wasn't even approved by the Board of Ed. The administrators took it upon themselves to buy these books with taxpayer dollars while COVID is going on. How many families are struggling to pay their mortgages? Listen, by all means, you want to teach kids these things, fine. Don't do it on my dollar. Don't infringe on my religious beliefs. Don't infringe. Do you know who makes up the majority of this district? Children from police officers' families. Blue. Back the blue children. Do you know what these children feel like when they come home? Have you spoken to them? No. You're silencing them. This whole cancel culture. You're silencing the children. Where are their rights? They have no rights. Because if they don't believe in the indoctrination, the demonic, twisted, sneaky, vile acts and education, if you call it that you're teaching our children, they don't agree with that. They're either homophobic, they're part of a cult,
They're racist. What's racist? Who defines racist? Why? Because I'm. Do you know what race I am? Do you? You don't. You don't even have an idea. I could be black. I could be white. I could be Asian. You don't know. Who are you to determine that? Who is anyone to determine that? You know what? Children in the school system, children like other children, they don't look at color. Black and white children, Hispanic children, you know why they get along? Because they don't look at each other's color. So you're the racist. Not them. Not us. You're judging and dividing. You're causing segregation. Everything that we fought for, everything that I fought for years. So you have the right to stand here and tell me I'm not allowed to mention a name when the person, the Mr. Barry and Miss Cyrus themselves, you have ELA teachers giving out assignments on police murder. Police are bad. You want the proof?
Okay.
Because we have it. So, what policy do you have that teachers are not allowed to go on social media and indoctrinate? They took an oath, a responsibility, and they're going against everything that they stand for.
End it?
I have to end it? So why? Why? You're on my dollar. Why?
Well, actually, I work for nothing doing this.
Oh, you work for nothing. Oh.
I do. This is a volunteer position, number one.
It's still my taxes paying for everything.
This podium
is every taxpayer's dollar here. We have rights. We have rights.
And you're making general assumptions?
No, I'm not making assumptions. I'm not. I know what I'm speaking about. See, I don't agree with you, so it's an assumption.
Well, I'm not going to engage in a back and forth with you about this. So if you would like to make an appointment, I would be happy to sit with the superintendent.
I don't want to. The assistant superintendent already sent an email and stated that they had no idea that these books were being put in the students' hands. The superintendent already stated that they had no idea that the funds of taxpayers were supporting this. Black Panthers, do you know Black Panthers is a domestic terrorist group? Do you know that it was condemned as a terrorist group? Do you know they kill cops? I have a problem when you're trying to kill a police officer. I have a big problem with that. I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers, recruiting children to go to the courthouse to protest Black Lives Matter. When you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are bastards. Really? All cops are bastards? No, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let you do that.
You.
No, I will become your worst nightmare, because I'm going to stand here and keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And if not, I can actually go out, get signatures. What happens if we stop paying school taxes? You're going to arrest all the community? The majority of the community? No, I don't think so. This won't be the last of me. I want everyone to know what's going on, because you're hiding it. You're hiding it. You know who does that? Communists do that. That's what you're doing. Recruiting children. Children. You're recruiting children to hate our police officers. How dare you? You have a librarian in the high school passing out Black Lives Matter pins. When a student asks for a blue lie, why would I have that? Why would she have that? What did you do for police week? Why don't you tell me, sir? What is it you want to tell me?
You've had your 2 minutes.
I don't need 2 minutes. I can go as long as I like.
No, that's not the point.
No? Oh. Where does it say that I can't? Is there a law against that?
We do have a policy.
A board policy. Who makes these board policies?
The board.
The board. And who pays the board?
Nobody.
Nobody? The chair you're sitting on, we pay for it. The lights that are on, we pay for it. We pay for everything. You want to silence me because I spoke the truth. I spoke the truth. Everyone out there heard me. Whether they agree or they don't, they're going to start looking into it. And now you're exposed. That's all. It's going to end. This indoctrination and hatred towards our police officers, this systematic racism and cancel culture, it's going to end. You came to the wrong school district to do this, okay? You need to respect every child. So therefore, no politics should be discussed in school. Rather it be conservatism, democratic, liberalism. You gave a survey after the election. Why? Why did you ask students who they voted for? What did it matter?
no answer, huh? You have no answers for me. I didn't expect an answer. That's okay, though. We'll get them some way or another. Same way you can't show us where all our money goes, right?
God.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Oh, whoa, Christy Johnson. Whoa,
yes.
Christy Johnson. I've been thinking the biggest mistake that school board did is they gave her the mic with unlimited time.
They
the last
didn't.
School board...
No, they gave her two minutes.
How much?
They gave her 2 minutes. She told them, I don't need your 2 minutes. She talked for 11 minutes.
last time I was in Chicago, I was invited actually by one of the school board members, and I talked about that in our program here before, and I traveled all the way from Florida to Chicago. That was the longest trip I have ever made in all the years of my traveling because I did not have enough time to stop, to sleep, not in a hotel. I slept in my car 3 times. Each time I slept for an hour, 15 minutes. That's how much time I slept. So I slept 3 times for less than 4 hours, traveling all the way from Florida to Chicago. I think it was like 24-hour drive without stopping. And the school board requested if I can speak for 10 minutes, and they voted 8-1 no. So she asked for 5 minutes. It was 8-1 no. Remember, they wasted literally
voting.
They wasted all the time to make the vote about allow me or not allow me to speak more time than anybody else. And then we ended with 3 minutes, like everybody else. We wasted 10 minutes, and I ended with 3 minutes. But that's okay.
Yeah.
And then the 3 minutes turned to be 2 minutes.
I know, but you see, Usama, I'm telling you what, you need to recruit this lady. She'll get you up there, and she is not sitting down. I'm telling you, they were so upset. And you know what
Sam,
I love?
You know, Sam Shimon,
let me tell you, you could not
Sam
see.
Sam Shimon was there. Yeah, Sam Shimon was there, and he did not talk. And Pastor Jim was there, and he did not talk. There was like, literally, it was sad. It was sad because what can you say in 2 minutes? But she took the mic, and she took the time she needed, and she shared
she would not stop.
But
what I want to say, you could not see, because you cannot see the video. I can only play the audio. And by the way, I know I've got a caller that wants to say something, so we're going to let them on in just a second. But this lady, she had the documents in her hand. She had done her research.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, she knew who said what, how much money they paid for the books that she said were horrible books, who did the curriculum, who approved it, who didn't approve it. She knew it all. And that is exactly what you're saying.
Exactly,
when they go, you have
exactly
to have
where you need it to be.
The information so you can do what you want. Hey, our friend Jennifer, she is on the line, and she has something to say. Jennifer, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, I just really enjoyed that y'all, had that lady on there so we could listen to it. And I remember Colin coming home one day asking me who did we vote for because they were asking him at school.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And
like
she said, what does that matter?
That's right. Why are they asking these children? And that's the thing, this division that is being created, even years ago, this may have started as a small thing. Now it's a huge thing. You know, when they're trying to say if you voted for Trump, you're a terrorist.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be wanting to tell people.
And here's the real, Jennifer, the real reason why they're asking our children to know who their parents voted for. It is literally to put them in a square that here are the bad students from the bad parents who voted for the wrong party, to manipulate them, disgrace them, humiliate them. That's exactly what they're doing. We never had this before. We never had this before in the history of America. 200 and some years we've been voting. No teacher ever asked a student, who did your parents vote for? This is nonsense.
Exactly.
You know, Jennifer, I remember too when you came, when one of your children came home talking about what they were teaching in Islam, about in Islam in the school. Do you remember that? I think it was
your
son. Yeah.
Was it Tyler?
Yes. And
yes,
you had been coming to some of the presentations Usama had done, and you told us about this. So, you see, even in a small community, these books, these textbooks, and these lies are being pervaded throughout our country through that Department of Education. I think the Federal Department of Education should be abolished. They've done nothing good for us. You know, they've done nothing good for us. Jennifer, anything else you liked hearing this mob speak out?
I loved it. I love that. I loved it because I wish we could all be that way, you know, that bold, because they were trying to silence her, and she was like, no, I'm going to keep speaking, because she wanted a resolution, and she didn't even get one, though, but...
That's okay. She said, I've already talked to the superintendent, and he said he didn't know about the purchase of these books. I love that. He sent me an email. She had all those documents in her hand to show them. You want to see the proof? You want to see the proof? You see, Christians, one of the reasons they're not bold is that they don't have the evidence. They don't have the proof.
Yes.
But we've got to start doing that. Because if we're going to save our own children, we need to know what's happening in the school. And, you know, back in the day when I was going to school, they had something called the Parent-Teacher Association. I will never forget when I found out there was no longer a Parent-Teacher Association. There was a National Teachers Association. Did that not tell us something when they took the parents out? They don't want the parents involved.
This is one thing. The other thing is, which I want to head on home with it, that in all the school board meetings which I attend all over this country, and it doesn't matter what size the school community is, how many people live and how many students there are, in any of these board meetings, you will never see 20 people, 30 people. When we made a big deal about one of the board meetings, you maybe find 60 people show up or 70 people out of hundreds and hundreds of parents. We are not involved in it. They school board team, they know they can get away with whatever they do because nobody attends the meeting. And no Christian are part of the school board themselves. I mean, you're talking about Muslims move to a community on purpose because they can have a mama in a hijab or not a hijab to be a part of the school board team. So Muslim moved from all the way from Detroit to Port Charlotte, Florida, and behold, the following year, she is a school board member. She applied for it, and she got into it, and now she have a big voice to allow the garbage lies about Islam to be taught in our school board. Why? Because she is there. Where are the Christians? Where are the born-again Christians who will go and volunteer and get to that position to make sure that our children are not taught that garbage, if it's lies about Islam or the hate to the policemen or making our children brainwash our children to make them communists, socialists?
You know, Usama, there was another thing that happened at a school board meeting even before this mom stood up. And like I said, Steve Bannon on War Room often talks about how courage creates courage. You stand up in courage. Other people will stand up in courage. There was a school board where they went to the school board meeting and they fired every one of the board members. They said, you guys are fired. And they took over the school board. That is what parents need to do to be involved. But
them.
I will.
That's exactly what we need to do.
I want to tell you, after this woman spoke at the next board meeting, hundreds of people came to the meeting. They didn't have enough room in the building for all those people to come in. And they were trying to keep her out. But the people made way for her, and she came in. Everybody applauded. That is where courage inspires courage. And truth,
awesome.
Being spoken boldly, will cause other people
That's
to
it.
Come
Absolutely.
Out and stand up for the truth. So anyway, anything else,
well,
Jennifer?
Well, I'm glad here we got a
no,
example.
I can just continue listening.
Okay, babe. Thank you for calling.
Thank
yeah,
you.
She is
and
a very well-known friend of ours, so I can
Thank
call
you.
Her by name. There are so many Jennifers in the world. Okay, thanks, Jennifer.
Thank
All
you.
All right. All right. Well,
and,
I had.
Know, I hope and I pray. Yeah, I hope and I pray that this will be a good example for born again believers. I'm not sure how
yeah.
much of a Christian definitely you are, but born again believers to stand up. And if we have done this 50 years ago, we would not have that. We would not have this level of stupidity and foolishness and socialism and communism and even Islam all over our school, and nobody would stand up to speak against it because once again. We're not there as a school board members. We're not there to attend the school board meeting. We're not there with a loud voice like this lady did. Boldness, respect, and love.
Yes. And you know what, Isama? We've played the audio from 1989 when the Muslim community came together and announced on C-SPAN that they would be moving in to take over the school to see that Islam was taught. Do you remember that? 1989, they were organized
yes,
to start taking over the school. So we don't have as much time. We don't have like they had from 1989. But like
well,
I said.
We don't have the time. We don't even have a plan for whatever time we got.
We don't have the
I mean,
what?
We need to put it- The plan, we're not prepared.
Well,
we are not have
but,
the plan. When I went to Port Charlotte School Board, I thought that by this time, we already sent an invitation to 730-some churches there. Every
right.
church in Port Charlotte Community of Florida got the message about the school board. And I thought out of 730 church, we have maybe, what, 60, 70 ministers there, suits and ties, like you see them on Sundays, they're going to be on the school board. Not even one pastor show up. Not one pastor. That was so stupid.
I understand, Usama. I understand. I do want to say something, though, real quickly, and that is that we do have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God, and we can recognize, if we can recognize the hour that we're living in, this can either be the hour that we see a great revival in America where Americans humble themselves. And let me tell you, there's plenty of reasons to humble yourself. Look at what's going on in the country. If the Christians in America can humble themselves and pray and duly seek God, repenting that we've allowed these things to happen. You know where we first lost it is when they took prayer out of school. Do you realize it was one woman who took prayer out of school all across the country? Madeline Murray O'Hare, an atheist. Praise God, her son became a Christian. But this is the one person that took prayer out of school because she spoke up like this woman. She's complaining. But you see, Christians did nothing. Then we have all of these things where Christians have stood back and said, well, we just want to love everybody. Let's not. Yeah, we don't need to make. No, we don't need to make other people endure our prayer time at school. Endure it? I'm sorry. That would have blessed even the atheist kids. It would have blessed the kids that don't believe in the Lord for there to be prayer at the school because it brings the presence and the acknowledgement of who God is. Which is a blessing for whoever. Anyway, the Christians, they neglected that. They let that go, sadly. And from there, it just got worse. So we can turn it around, whether we are the minority or the majority. If we'll be faithful, I believe we can turn it around. But I don't know if we will, because if we don't, we'll see Jesus coming back real soon. And I'm not sad if Jesus comes back soon, but there'll be a lot of very, very sad things happen that will begin and continue, like the persecution of Christians around the world, the persecution of Christians in America, and the persecution of the Jewish people, and attacks against Israel. All these are prophesied. They're right on the border of happening. In fact, they're going on right now. How bad will it get? If we don't turn it around, it'll get worse.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, indeed. All right. What else we have on your agenda, Christy?
Okay, well, this is on both of our agenda. The program that we're doing tonight, we wanted to talk specifically about a serious problem. So I'll read what I posted. You can pick up on it here. Deception, confusion, and lies destroy the gospel. One church preaches peace, love, justice. They welcome the LGBTQ plus community and promote verses from the Quran on their billboard. You'll see in the slideshow the picture of this quote from the Quran. And yet they're planning today, tonight, as we're speaking. They're having a big rally to remember the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting. Usama, tell us what happened in the Pulse nightclub shooting. Happened in Florida,
well,
you remember? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Here's what this idiot did not know. Of course, a Muslim practiced the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. And Muhammad was very clear. If you see any of the people who do like Sodom and Gomorrah people do, gay and lesbian, kill the one who does it and the one to whom it is done. It's a very direct Hadith from Muhammad. This is exactly what Muslims have been practicing for the last 14 years. So the Muslim believer with the strength of Allah went to the nightclub where the gay and lesbian meet, and he shot and killed 50. I don't know how many were wounded, but it was a big massacre down there. So Muslims practiced Islam and shot and killed gay and lesbian at that nightclub, which, and by the way, I always remember that, because 12 or 13 days before that, I was speaking in Missouri. Not in Missouri. I was speaking in Wisconsin, some Baptist church in Wisconsin, and the gay and lesbian community joined the Muslims outside the church to protest me. And in the pulpit, and we have the video for it, in the pulpit, I said that they will come and the Muslim will be shooting and killing this idiot, this useful idiot, the gay and lesbian, who are outside there supporting them in front of our church. And 12 or 13 days, I can't remember exactly, 12 days or 13 days, that's when this Muslim-loving, peaceful massacre practiced the command of Muhammad against the gay and lesbian of Orlando.
You know, and you hear about this, shooting. I mean, I feel terribly sorry for the people that night who were terrorized and who were killed and their families. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
In the news, they, like, didn't want to tell you that the guy who did it was a Muslim. They didn't want to tell you that that's what Islam teaches. That is the one thing that was missing out of the news, but we talked about it. And here's the other thing that happened. Some of those people, I will say, praise God, who survived that night at that club, many of them became Christians. They sought God. They got saved. They're not living as gay and lesbian at this time because they accepted Christ. What brought them to that repentance was this disaster. But I'm telling you, did the news ever want to tell you that that's what Islam teaches? No, they didn't want to tell you that. And so this church, you'll see the pictures of it. I put up there one of the postings in their Facebook page. They have a lovely little thing that is celebrating the Gay Pride Month, which, by the way, Joe Biden has declared and recognized Gay Pride Month. It's so wonderful that we have Gay Pride Month. And you know what they said in their service when they put up that poster? They were talking about how, this is, we're celebrating Pentecost, And then the beginning of Gay Pride Month. I mean, it's like they're both the same. I mean, they're both important. Gay Pride and our wonderful, I mean, I was going, this is unbelievable. But this is what's going on. This is what's going to destroy us here in America. So on this poster, they also had the announcement of their meeting. This meeting to recognize the victims is being held at their church. I watched some of the people there speaking at their church. They're online right now. They don't have an in-church meeting yet. That'll start next week, according to their Facebook page. But, you know, I felt so bad for these people because they're saying things like, the other point of this that I will share with you. They're saying things like, yes, we believe in peace, love, and justice. These words that I heard from the people in this church who were sharing for their service last week. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus said in the end times, it would be full of deception, false teaching, and even false teaching about the second coming of Jesus. Former Iranian president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad speaks about love, peace, and justice, and Jesus' return. He's speaking about the same thing this church is speaking about. I have the clips of him sharing this message. It's very short because, you know, years ago, he could not speak English. But now he speaks in English. And I know Usama will have some comments about the words that he uses. So the first one is just, I will tell you what he's going to say because you have to listen carefully. He has an accent. You know, Usama used to have an accent, but I don't understand.
What are you talking about?
Years ago, you had an accent.
Now you don't. I used to have an accent, yeah.
50 years ago, he had an accent. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, he's thanking people from all over the world for all of the happy birthday messages he got. This is his last birthday. Hey, Usama, it's right around your birthday, too, in October of 2020. So listen to this. Here we go.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for the birthday wishes from all over the world. God bless you.
I played that. I had the volume was loud there, so maybe it was hard to understand. He said, thank you for all the birthday wishes. And then he said, God bless you. Unusual for him to say, God bless you, right? But he did say in the beginning what all Muslims say, right?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. And by the way, if he have in mind to speak to the infidels, he made a big mistake because he is asking the blessing of God. I don't know which God he's talking about. Of course, he's talking about Allah, and Allah never said to bless the infidels. But it's all the same level of deception, the soft talk, and the God you, and everything will be great. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and you're going to hear this in these other clips. Again, they're very short. But I think it's interesting. Like you said, he's saying, God bless you. But here we go. This is him. He's going to be talking about a holiday they celebrate in Iran called Nowruz. I'm not sure what it's about, but here he is sharing again. Here we go.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Happy Nowruz, an Iranian international celebration to all. Nowruz, the celebration of rebirth of humanity, peace, health, love, brotherhood, and cooperation. God bless us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Yeah. Peace, love, brotherhood. I heard these same words at this church. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's amazing how you put peace and love together in one sentence from a Muslim jihadi, true Muslim believer, in this sweet talk. I do not know if he was practicing taqiyya, which is obviously that's what he did, what he's doing, or maybe he was drunk. No Muslim in his position would ever use this word peace and love.
You know what? This is something that's going on with him. I wish I knew more, but he's always had a very powerful way of speaking. He's a very intelligent man. But they're saying that he is not going to be able to run for president, but they're talking about him as potentially inciting the overthrow of the Islamic state, meaning the Muslim rulers. And he's making all of these tweets, and these videos are going on Twitter, so I watch his Twitter. But it's interesting. He makes comments about Hollywood stars. He sends his condolences about Texas when they had the freeze. He talks about Black Lives Matter and the killing of George Floyd. He is talking about how happy he
he's becoming, Christy, a political leader, world national leader for justice and love and peace. That's the whole point.
Yep.
So he has the sympathy of the world, especially the liberals of America, who will love him and maybe will help him to become the president of Iran once again.
Or to take over more than Iran. He's also in several articles. You saw him, and I posted one of them. Yes, we need to have Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Iran come together. It's unbelievable the political moves that he's making, appealing to South America. You realize that Iran has ships in our Atlantic right now, and our pitiful president and his administration, I don't know what they're going to do about it, but they are very emboldened, and yet Ahmadinejad is talking about peace and love, and you'll hear him. This is his Merry Christmas. This one is just a minute long. This is his wishes for Merry Christmas to the Western world. You'll hear him mention the Mahdi, and Usama can tell you more about that when it's done. Here we go. And again, this man could not speak English, to my knowledge, 8 years ago. He's been working on it. That's one of the reasons why these videos are popping up. Here we go.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's a great pleasure to congratulate the birthday anniversary of the great prophet, Jesus Christ, the prophet of peace and God's mercy. I wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all women and men in the world. He will certainly help you with Imam Mahdi, together with people from all over the world of any ethnicity, religion and culture, to rid the world of oppression, discrimination, enmity, war, poverty, and injustice, and to establish a world full of freedom, justice, love, peace, and comfort for all. The cold winter of mankind is coming to an end, and humanity is spring with bright sunlight will rise soon, inshallah.
Inshallah. Love it how he's speaking Arabic, and Arabic is not his language. Arabic is funny. And as Chris said, he just started learning English, and he's speaking English, and his English is really, as you have heard him. But here goes the propaganda, taqiyya of Islam, wishing us Merry Christmas, and talking about Jesus. He's speaking of Jesus and the prophet of love and peace, and no Muslim can say anything about Jesus, but love and peace, like it or not, because that's even what the Quran teaches. But he's talking about the Mahdi, the guided one, who will come back, because when in the end of time, as Muslims believe, Jesus is coming back. But amazingly, when Jesus, this prophet of love and peace, comes back, he's not going to be a prophet of love and peace. He's actually going to break the cross. He's going to wipe out the Christians from the face of the earth. He's going to kill the pig. He's going to kill the last Jew. And that's exactly what every Muslim in the world, Iranian or not, Shia or Sunni, believe this will be the end of time. Jesus will come back as a Muslim. He will establish Islam as the final religion with the help of the guided one, Al-Mahdi. He will literally take over the world. And that is exactly the Antichrist. So the Jesus they'll be talking about is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not that Jesus is our God, our Lord and our Savior, no. We're talking about the Antichrist, whom if they will show up, he will unite the world in Islam as they believe to make the whole world Muslim. But anyway, Chris, I want to go back to the ad in the front of the church. I want to talk a little bit about
yes.
it before we move to
yes.
our city for tonight.
That's where we're going with this.
Fight, okay, here is humans are one family, so make peace with your family. Excuse me, what? Quran 49:10. I want you to get your Quran open, Christy, Quran 49:10, and read to me and our wonderful audience, what did Allah exactly say in the Quran in 49:10? Because these words does not exist in that verse. And when I will, after Christy, will read Quran 49:10 for us, I will read to you the interpretation of that verse by any Muslim scholars of your choice. So once again,
okay.
the sign in front of the church said, humans are one family. So make peace with your family. I dare the garbage which was brought here on the sign, I dare a Muslim man to show me where in the Quran do we read 49:10 says that. Once again, humans are one family. So make peace with your family, period. Is this what is written in Quran 49:10, Christy Johnson?
No, this is actually the correct translation, and it is, surely the believers are only brothers, so reconcile between your brothers and fear Allah, perhaps you may be shown mercy.
In Arabic, word for word, what Christy said is accurate. It says here, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَاصْلُحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Now, I can read to you any interpretation of anyone. And for example, here, Ibn Kathir, we use him a lot here, or Al-Tabri said this thing. It says here, أي الجميع أخوة في الدين, he meant, Allah meant, all of you are brothers in the religion. What religion? Islam, you idiot. Methodist, idiot. Gay and lesbian supporter, idiot. كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ as the message of Allah, Allah's prayer, and Allah's peace for him, said, المسلم أخو المسلم. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. Are you hearing me? The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. That's what Muhammad said. La yazlumu wa la yusallimu. He will not treat him unjustly, and he will not surrender him to anybody.
Usama, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to make it clear because we didn't introduce this very clearly. This is a sign on a church in Atlanta, Georgia. It's their bulletin sign in front of the church, St. Mark's United Methodist Church, that is posted the bulletin of Quran 49:10. They quoted it incorrectly, but what it really says, they've got the Quran verse on the front of their church. This is the one who advertises gay and lesbian events and, you know, it's Gay Pride Month. Same church. It's crazy.
Stupid does. Now, فَاصْلُحْ بَيْنَ أَخْوَاكُمْ يَعْنِي So make peace between your brother. When you have two Muslim groups are fighting, are engaging in war with one another, Muslim believers must intervene and make peace between them. That is what this verse is talking about. It's talking about Muslim believers are brothers, not humans. Our brothers, know the whole world as one big family, as these stupid, useful idiots wrote on their board. Humans are one family. No, Muslims are one family. Muslims, not humans. They are so stupid that they don't understand. They're digging their graves by their own hands. to make peace with your family. No. Allah did not say make peace with your family. Allah said make peace between the two Muslim groups who are engaging in war with one another. Command of Allah in the Quran, my dear friends, it is for Muslim believers to engage in war with the infidels to the last day. As a matter of fact, Muslims believe that the day of judgment will not come. The last day will not come until Muslims kill the last Jew, until Muslims kill the last Christian, until Muslims kill the last infidel. So the idea of that bulletin sign we have in front of the church, that humans are one family, are lie from the bottom of hell. Muslims are one family. Muslims must make peace between Muslims, different groups, when they engage in war. But Muslims are also commanded by Allah to engage in war with the infidels. Commanded by Allah to kill the gay and lesbian, the members of that wacko church. What is the name of the church?
St. Mark's United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta, Georgia. I called the church this, Christy. I just could not help it yesterday. So I decided to call the church. The man answered the phone, had the same voice of the man who had the answer machine. Somebody had a deep voice, an older man. So I tried to explain to him what this verse actually said in the Arabic language, what Muslim scholar actually said about the verse like I did tonight. And I said, your church are just a bunch of stupid. You don't know what you're doing. You present Islam. You are printing Islam in a beautiful, colorful picture when in reality it's a savage cult. Why are you doing that, sir? Why are you doing that? Why are you making the Quran teach something nice when there was nothing right in the Quran? Nothing. All what he said, I'm sorry, and then he hang up. I called again, so I left two messages for the two ladies, one lady, Jennifer, I believe her name, and the other guy, I thought a woman, but found out he's a man, as you investigated, Christy, by the name, Dina, Diana, whatever his name was. He's a preacher. He's a
Dana.
But anyway,
Dana,
okay?
Yeah.
So I left message for both of these two idiots with my telephone number, and who I am. I was hoping that they have the courage and they have the boldness to call me back so I can educate them about Quran 49:10 and about Islam and about their stupidity. Sadly, it's been all yesterday and all the day, and they have not called me back, and I'm waiting for them to call me back. I'm waiting. If not, I'll give them another shot sometime this week, but I don't think they're going to call me. They're cowards. They're stupid. They're ignorant. And that's it. Welcome to St. Mark United Methodist Church, gay and lesbian. Good.
Yes, and this is the sad part. You saw, man, we've been trying to wake people up to what Islam teaches, and not by what Muslims teach or what Muslims do. We wanted to teach, you did, about what Islam is from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the scholars. And you see, we've been trying for years to do that. If that had been done, this church would never put the gay and lesbian community together with verses from the Quran. They would know better. I mean,
amazing. You know what's amazing? Yeah, the Muslim who put this sign in the top there, Christy, they said, a church in Atlanta, USA, using the message from Quran, subhanallah. Subhanallah is how great Allah is. And like how amazing Allah is. Like, wow. Muslims are surprised. You know why? Because that Muslim is stupid. Because the Muslim who wrote that statement and took the picture and made this advertising does not know his Quran either.
Yeah.
He does not know his Quran either. If he had read Quran 49:10, he would say, hello, my dear Atlanta gay and lesbian supporter messages. That's not what the Quran says. I mean, you know how easy it is for us to make a slip of a tongue, use the wrong word or maybe a close word to what Allah meant, and Muslims jump on us. How dare are you to corrupt the word of Allah, the Quran, and say Allah said that? That's not what Allah says. Allah actually says this, not that. Here they make up a whole verse. This useful idiot, the gay and lesbian of the Methodist, made up a new verse for Allah in the Quran. And the Muslim man is saying, subhanallah, how great Allah is. Wow. He's amazed. He is He was surprised because the verse make Islam look good. He does not have any problem with it. They're making up a verse. Anyway.
Yes.
We're talking up with this story, Chris. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that it's interesting when we look at the time we live in and, you know, and the comment that I posted, we have to watch out for deception. Because if these people don't know Jesus in this church, they can quote verses from the Quran, they can quote verses from the Bible, they can get up and preach good sermons, although I didn't really think a whole lot about what they did. They had a lot of people speaking, a lot of routine. But the thing is, people can be deceived by that. Oh, these are nice people. They talk about brotherhood and peace and love and everybody is accepted here. That is not what Jesus taught us. And they don't know that. They don't know Jesus. He said, you all have sinned. He's there to die, to pay for that sin. That's not a small thing. If I told you I was going to die for you, and then you said, oh, that's so nice, Christy. Well, have a nice day. I'm going over here to take your children out and get them drunk and hook them on drugs. But I'm so glad you're dying for me. You know, I'm using an exaggeration. Would I be happy I died for the people that are going to destroy my kids? But that's what's happening with the church. They're saying, oh, yes, Jesus died for us, so we love everybody. But they're allowing the people Jesus died for to be led away in deception, to be led into eternity of hell. They don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. I don't know how to emphasize that anymore.
It's sad. And the sixth thing is liberals are used in America by the Muslims. These wacko gay and lesbian church all over this country. The Muslims are so smart. They're searching for them to use them to paint Islam in a beautiful picture for their own destruction. And they are literally useful idiots. Or I can add the word stupid because that's reality what it is. They're stupid, useful idiots who are digging their own graves and destroying this country because they're ignorant of Islam and they're ignorant of Christ and Christianity as well. Anyway. Our time is up with the story. I want to move on, Christy, with our study because we only have
40 some
minutes.
I'm
so
sorry.
We're good. I would love to move to our study concerning Abraham. And as we were sharing for the last few weeks, that Abraham of the Quran has nothing to do with Abraham of the Bible. It is a counterfeit gospel. It's a new counterfeit material, not only because the Quran here contradicts the Bible, but because also the Quran contradicts the Quran. That's a bigger problem than the problem between the differences between the Quran and the Bible concerning Abraham. I think we got to finish chapter 15 where we read the story one more time about Abraham and Lot and the messengers, and we saw there's some contradiction between what the Quran teach and what the Quran teach in a previous passage. I want you to go with me, Christy, to Quran chapter 16, and we're going to read beginning from verse 120. Quran chapter 16, beginning from verse 120, to look at what else Allah said in the Quran about Abraham, so we can figure out exactly the differences between the Quran and the Bible.
Okay. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Surely Abraham was a leader obedient to Allah, Hanifan, your Lord, after that is forgiving, merciful. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. My thing scrolled on me. I'm sorry. Let me try that again. Surely Abraham was a leader obedient to Allah, Hanifan, and he was not of the polytheists.
We already talked about that. We already talked about that. No, Abraham. Oh, first of all, the word Hanifan means nothing. There's no religion. It's called the religion of Hanifan. Abraham was a Jew. He's the father of all the Jews. He spoke to God himself, for heaven's sake. If even in the Quran, Allah talks to Abraham directly. Allah is the God of the chosen people. Allah chose Abraham from the rest of the people of the earth to bring the nation of Israel to existence, to bring Christ in the flesh from that nation to be the Savior of the world. And Abraham is a blessing to the whole world, not because he is a Jew, but because from him Christ come in the flesh. And from him, and from the Jewish people, salvation came to the whole world. And that's how the whole world is blessed, through Abraham.
Now, he but that's Abraham the Bible, right?
Yes, ma'am. And when he says Abraham was not a polytheist, it means he does not worship more than one God. He does not have any partner with Allah. That is a lie. Even the Quran itself declared that Abraham worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars.
Yeah, we read that earlier.
Yes, 121. Go ahead, Christy.
Thankful for his graces, he has chosen him and guided him to a straight way.
Well, yes, God chose Abraham and guided him to the Jewish faith. That's not what the Quran is talking about. Allah declared to us in the Quran that Abraham was a Muslim. And so his descendants died as Muslims. And Jacob asked his children to die as Muslims. No, Abraham was not a Muslim. Abraham was not a Hanifan, a word without any meaning. Abraham was the father of all the Jewish people. He believed in the God of the Jewish faith. He believed in Jehovah. He believed in Yahweh. As a matter of fact, as we're going to see a little bit later from Genesis 18, Abraham saw Jesus, and he walked with Jesus, and he worshipped Jesus, which makes Abraham a Christian.
Yes, that was covered last week. That was good.
In the book. Yes. All right. Keep going. Next verse.
And we gave him good in this world, and surely in the hereafter he will be of the good.
You mean he's not of the good in this world? He'll just be good in the hereafter? Allah gave him good in this world. What does Allah mean by that? Well, we know that Abraham was rich. We know that Abraham will have his own army, for heaven's sake, as he fought the battle for the five cities. With his 318 men, trained, powerful. We know that Abraham was blessed with Isaac, who was blessed with Jacob, who was blessed with Judah. From him we have our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The best thing ever happened to Abraham is he is the blessing to the whole world through his seed, singular seed, one seed, which is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. But he's telling in the hereafter, he will be of the good. You mean he was not of the good in this world? Next verse, Chris, 123.
Then we revealed to you, quote, that follow the religion of Abraham, Hanifan, and he was not of the polytheists, unquote.
Allah revealed to Muhammad to follow the religion of Abraham. What Muhammad have to do with Abraham? Was Muhammad Hanifan or Muhammad a Muslim? What is Hanifan? Once again, a word without meaning. And Abraham was not of the polytheist. Once again, like we have seen in verse 119, and here we go to 120, and here is in 123. No, he did worship, and he did partner the sun and the moon and the stars with Allah. Next verse.
Surely the Sabbath was only ordained for those who differed about it, and surely your Lord will judge between them on the resurrection day in what they were differing.
I think that's where we stopped last time, Christy, in our last program. And obviously we talked about some of the people, the Jewish people, did not honor the Sabbath, did not keep the Sabbath, not because they did not, but because Allah deceived them. Allah mocked them, or Allah gave them hardship because when they went to catch fish, they did not have any fish. And only on the Sabbath, Allah, the best deceiver, made the fish appear in the water. So they caught the fish on the Sabbath, and because of that, Allah cursed them and makes them monkeys and pigs.
What a wonderful Allah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's move on, Christy, to Quran chapter 19, which is obviously the next chapter where we learn about Abraham. Okay. And once again, Muhammad repeated these bite and bit from Abraham. So in 63 verses throughout the Quran, and as we are going through them 1 week at a time, as we go through all of them, you still come up with the question, who is that Abraham? We do not know too much about Abraham. Information contradicts itself. Information does not fit with the teaching of the Bible. There are false teaching all over it. And Abraham was not a Muslim, and Muhammad was not a Hadith. Verse 41, Christy, Quran chapter 19, beginning from verse 41, I'm going to read a few verses to learn more about Abraham. And the amazing thing is, here Muhammad, it's not like that's what is written about Abraham in the book, in the Bible. But that's not true. That's not true.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And remember in the book, Abraham, surely he was a friend, a prophet.
Okay, Abraham was a friend. Abraham is a friend, and he's a prophet. Well, what a way Muhammad speaking. A friend to who, Christy? A friend to Muhammad? A friend to his neighbors? A friend to Allah? A prophet to whom? What is this? Just that of words to make sentence, to make the poetry of the Quran? Yeah, listen to it in Arabic. Beautiful. وَذُكُرُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِيقًا نَبِيًّا. Oh, yeah, beautiful. So what is a friend? A friend of who? What is a prophet? What was his prophecy? Oh, it's just empty words. The Quran is simply empty words. Next verse.
When he said to his father, "Oh, my father, why do you serve that which neither hears nor sees nor profits you anything?"
Really? Did Abraham say that to his father? Remember, Allah in the Quran said that Abraham spoke to his father Azar, which is the wrong name,
yeah,
because the real name is about Tarih. So Muhammad got the wrong father and now got the wrong story. Did Abraham ever say that to his father? Of course not. 43.
Oh, my father, surely indeed some knowledge came to me which has not come to you. So follow me. I will guide you to a straight way.
Wow. Now Abraham is telling his father he has some knowledge, not all, not a lot of knowledge, but some knowledge. And he knows that knowledge only went to Abraham, but Abraham's daddy, Mr. Azar, does not know anything about it. And he's going to help his father, he's going to guide his father to the straight way, really. Keep going, 44.
Oh, my father, do not serve Satan. Surely Satan was a rebel against the merciful.
What a wonderful sermon. The funny thing is, when we read the Bible, we never read any of that. Not because the Bible did not talk about it, but because Muhammad added to the Bible. One of the great important advice Muhammad missed is Revelation 22, as we're about to close the Holy Scripture, when the Bible says you cannot add or take away. And what did Muhammad do all over the Quran? He added and he took away. How in the world Muhammad can come up with all this wonderful sermon and the conversation between Abraham and his father when he does not even know who is his father, for heaven's sake?
Oh, my father, surely I fear lest a torment from the merciful touches you, so you will become a friend to Satan.
Wow. It's a wonderful advice, wonderful teaching, a fairy tale made up verses by Muhammad about Abraham and his father. And let's now, I want you to listen carefully, how the father responds to Abraham in verse 46.
He said, "Are you forsaking my gods, O Abraham? If you do not stop that, I will stone you and depart from me for a long time."
We talked about this in the previous verse, and we laughed about it, because
yeah,
if Abraham's father is upset that Abraham is leaving these gods, which obviously Abraham worshipped before he knows about the true God, Allah, he's going to stone him. If he stone him, that means he's going to be dead. He will not be leave for a little bit or for a long time. He will be leaving forever. When you stone
yeah,
people, Chris, you know what happens when you stone them? They die.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He said, peace be on you. I will ask forgiveness for you from my Lord. Surely he was kind to me.
Yeah, that is the promise of Abraham, which we read a little bit earlier in our study, is that Abraham sought forgiveness for his father because he made the promise to his father. It was a mistake. It was a mistake because he did not know that Allah will not hear his prayer and Allah will not forgive his fathers.
So,
okay.
And I will separate from you and what you call on rather than Allah, and I will call to my Lord. Perhaps I will not become miserable by calling to my Lord.
Perhaps he will not become miserable. You know, this is weird. The word perhaps is written throughout the Quran by Allah. That's why we wrote a couple of articles, Allah is the God of perhaps, because he does not know. And here's Abraham, the prophet of Allah, who has the truth, who knows the truth, who is supposed to guide his father to the straight way, and he does not know if he's going to do it or not. I mean, if you ask me, Christy, Usama, I want you to come with me to go to Sister Jennifer's house. Because we're going to eat dinner there. Okay, let's go. Well, perhaps, Usama, I will not get lost. Come with me. Perhaps I will not get lost and get you lost with me. If you don't know where you're going, Christy, how can you take somebody else to it?
That's very
should
funny.
Never use the word perhaps here. If he is on the straight way, I'm as a Christian right now. I know for sure when I die, I'm going to make it to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said so. There's no doubt in it. Well, perhaps, Christy, if I get saved, I will get you to be saved with me. Really? Perhaps? Last verse, Christy. Actually, 49 and 50. Go ahead.
So when he had separated from them and what they served rather than Allah, we granted to him Isaac and Jacob, and each of them we made a prophet.
But when we read the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, we know for sure that Abraham and his father and his nephew Lot traveled together out of Babel, out of Iraq, towards Canaan. So Abraham and his father were not separated. Abraham did not separate from his father. His father traveled with him, and he died on his way to Canaan, the promised land. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Look at that. We have to prove our point from the scripture. In Genesis, chapter 13, I believe, 13. 13 or 14, I will up in a minute here. Genesis chapter 13, let me look at the bottom. Nope, actually, before 16, it has to be 12.
Okay.
We'll find you, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to prove to you that he did not separate from his father, but his father died while they were traveling together. Genesis chapter 12 in the bottom down there. Nope, that's Abraham in Egypt. It has to be before that. What is going on, Christy Johnson?
I don't know.
The Bible in my hand and my computer is going slow. But in a minute here, we're going to read to you what is written.
Well, I'm in 11, so we can't.
It's
I don't 11 think
in
it's...
the bottom. Yep.
And,
11
yes,
in the bottom.
Yes.
Go to verse 31.
31, yep. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelled there.
You're going?
Oh, I'm sorry. And the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran.
And obviously, after Terah died, Abraham continued from Haran to the promised land. So the idea which Allah is telling us here in the Quran
that Abraham separated from his father, separated from their what he served, is a lie. And what's so amazing, Muhammad here in verse 49 did not mention anything about Ishmael. We're going to be talking about Ishmael a lot later, not today. But here, when we, because he did the right thing, Allah gave him Isaac and Jacob. Why didn't say Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob? Up to this point, Christy Johnson, Muhammad did not hit Muhammad in his head that he's going to be the descendant of Ishmael.
Right.
Muhammad come up with the idea that he is a descendant.
He thought about
later.
It later. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if this was his agenda from the beginning, he would squeeze Ishmael every time he mentioned Abraham. Every time he mentioned Ishmael, which is the logic thing, the oldest son is Ishmael, not Isaac.
I know, it's very weird, isn't it, that he left him
and
out.
Look, Isaac and Jacob both are prophets. Read for me 49 again, verse 49 and verse 50.
So when he had separated from them and what they served rather than Allah, we granted him Isaac and Jacob, and each of them we made a prophet.
And 50?
And we granted them from our mercy and gave them the lofty tongue of truth.
All right. So the blessing of Allah was and Jacob, and I don't see anywhere here Ishmael or Muhammad did any blessing. Not because I believe Ishmael had anything to do with Muhammad, because obviously, as you would see again and again, Ishmael is the father of the Ishmaelites, Genesis 25. They have nothing to do with Arab, who are the descendants of Keturah, Genesis 25, the first six verses. Now, let's go to verse 58.
And those are the ones whom Allah graced among the prophets from the descendants of Adam, and among whom we carried with Noah, and among the descendants of Abraham and Israel, and among those whom we have guided and chosen. When the verses of the merciful were recited to them, they bowed down, worshiping and weeping.
Oh, broken heart. Somehow, what verses? The Quran? The Quran with the descendants of Muhammad? What verses? Oh, notice here, once again, the chaos of Adam, and he moved from Adam to Noah, and with Noah, those who were with him, we must know who they are, obviously, because Muhammad did not know who. If we can talk about that when we study the account, the biblical story of Noah and how Muhammad destroyed him in the Quran, but that's okay, Abraham, and then he did not even mention Isaac, but he mentioned Israel. How in the world the name Jacob changed to Israel in that verse, Christy?
I don't know. Did that's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, we just read Jacob. We just read Jacob.
We read in the previous verse, Isaac and Jacob. Now, he lost Isaac because, by the way, Allah does not know anything about Isaac in the Quran. Allah does not hardly know anything about Ishmael in the Quran. As Allah does not even mention Esau, Jacob's brother, in the Quran. And Allah does not know hardly anything about Jacob in the Quran. So to understand the story of Jacob, according to Ibn Kathir, you need to understand the story of Joseph, his son. I never heard that you can know the life of a man by studying the story of his son. How? I don't know, but that's okay. So what is missing in the Quran is Abraham, Esau, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob. The whole thing is missing. But here in that verse, Quran 50, verse 58, we learn about Abraham and Israel. How in the world Jacob became Israel? Do you know that it's a mystery for a Muslim to say that Jacob is Israel? Who changed his name? How his name was changed? When his name was changed? We have to go back to the Bible, which is the biblical account, which is the true account, which Muslims mock. What do you read about the blessing of the Lord, Jesus Christ, before he came in the flesh, after wrestling with Jacob almost all night until the morning came up, and he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What's your name? Jacob. He said, your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel.
Right.
If Muslim wanted to know why his name changed and who changed his name and how his name was changed. But
so that's all
Everything about the Bible is missing in the Quran. But when the verses of Allah was recited on them, they worship, they bow down, and they weep. What verses? Who made this up? There was no Quran, Christy Johnson.
Well,
let's move on.
I haven't been weeping a lot when I read the verses of the Quran, but I have laughed quite a few times.
There's so much comedy there than sincere talk to make you weep or cry. Anyway, let's go to chapter 21.
I'm going to go to it, but I definitely wanted to say something, and that is that if you get a copy of Usama's translation, accurate translation of the Quran, the generous Quran, there are notes there to tell you where to compare to the Bible. So it's really helpful. It tells you to go to Genesis, where to look, and also when these names are changed, it explains it. So it has some great notes in it for you, so you're not just reading this stuff and going, what? Anyway.
It was happened yesterday, yesterday, some gentleman called. And he is asking, if I am a scholar? I said, what do you mean a scholar? He said, you translated the Quran. I said, yes. He said, what kind of, were you a Muslim imam? Were you a scholar to translate the Quran? I said, no. He said, so what gave you the right to translate the Quran? I said, that's very simple. I know Arabic and I know English. So I changed every word from Arabic to English, and I gave the accurate English translation of the Quran. And he said, no, this is not right. I'm not qualified to do that. I said, why? He said, because you have to know the Muslim scholars' writing. I said, Muslim what? He said, Muslim scholars. I said, Muslim what? He said, Muslim scholars. I said, that word does not exist. He was like shocked. I said, there is no Muslim scholars. I call them dummers. He said, that's not a word. I said, I know it's not a word, and I put it in my book. I made it up. Now it is a word. Dumber is the real word. It's in my book. It's in ink. And I said, my friend, this is it. When a Muslim becomes a scholar and he starts studying the Quran and understands the Quran, he is no longer a Muslim. He leaves Islam because he's the foolishness of Islam. He said, what do you mean? He said, there are plenty of Christian ministers and Christian priests who lived Christianity because they found so many holes in the Bible. I said, no, you got it wrong again. If they were true Muslim Christian believers, if they were true ministers, if they're true priests, they will never find a hole in the Bible. There's no holes in the Bible, not a hole, a singular hole. And I said, you know what? I got your point. They left the Bible because they assumed there's holes in the Bible to follow a child molester, to follow pedophilia, to follow Muhammad. He said, your information is not true. I said, what do you mean it's not true? Years old, play with a little girl, 6 years old, and literally molest her for 3 years to have intercourse with her when she was 9 and he was 54. That's nothing but a piece of garbage. That's your Muhammad. So they left Jesus, the holy, righteous one, according to the Quran, to follow a pedophilia. You're Muhammad. And then I said, let me give you another example. Muhammad took his own daughter-in-law, Zainab bint Jahsh. Zainab is her name, the daughter of Jahsh. He said, well, I know the word Jahsh. Of course, he's an American who does not know so much Arabic, who does not know so much Islam. The word Jahsh means donkey. So her name is Zainab, the daughter of donkey. And he said, and you are the Jahsh. He's telling me I am the donkey. I said, no, my friend, I'm not the Jahsh. The Jahsh is your Muhammad. Muhammad is a donkey because he lived like a donkey and he was involved sexually with every female like any donkey will ever do. And then he hang up. So that's the end of the story. All right. Quran chapter 21, Chris. Quran chapter 21. We only have 10 minutes left. You talk too much, Chris Johnson. I think he shortened down. 21, let's begin from verse 51, Christy. 51. One more time to learn about Abraham
and the story between Abraham and his father and the hogwash. Okay.
Okay, you got to give me a second. 21, right? 21:51.
Yes, ma'am. Beginning from verse 51.
Got it. Okay. Here we go. 21:51. This is an important verse. Here we go. And indeed, we gave Abraham his guidance before, and we were knowing him well.
Oh, you mean he was not guided and he became guided. You have to understand now, Abraham did not grow up in a Christian family or a Jewish family. Abraham lived in Babel, in Iraq, where he worshipped many gods. Yes, his father most likely worshipped all these gods. Yes, Abraham himself worshipped these many gods. Abraham was a polytheist, not because of the story in the Quran, the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars, which is so ridiculous. It's like a comedy. It's like Abraham is a little baby, first time he sees the stars, and he did not know that when the sun rises in the morning, the star will disappear. The second day, he saw the moon, Christian. He did not know that when the day stars show up, the moon will disappear. The third day, he saw the sun. And he did not know that when it gets dark at night, he will not see the sun. It's like stupid, ridiculous story, but that's okay. But the biblical teaching, we know that Abraham lived in a community who are idol worshippers. He worshipped many, 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 many gods. I believe personally Abraham himself worshipped these gods, like his father, like everybody in the family. But when Allah said we guided him, that means he was lost. We lead him to the truth, that means he was in the wrong way. He believed in Allah. That means he used to worship the false god. Because he did not grow up in a Jewish family or a Christian family. He grew up in a terrible family. Next verse, Christy, 52.
When he said to his father and to his people, what are those statues which you are devoted to?
Okay. He is rejecting the gods which his father and his people worship. Well, guess what? He himself, once again, used to worship the same thing. Because he did not grow up to be a led to the truth. He was led to the truth later. 53.
They said, we found our father serving them.
Oh, makes sense. When you grow up in a house and your dad and his father and his grandfather worship some idols, for sure you're going to grow up to worship the same idols. So, okay, next verse.
He said, indeed, you and your fathers were in obvious error.
Well, so is you, Abraham, yourself, before the Lord God, according to the Bible, call you out of your family, out of your city, to the promised land, to make a new man out of you. Next verse.
They said, have you come to us with the truth, or are you of the sporters?
Are you joking with us, Abraham, or are you serious? Are you serious? You have the truth about that we are in error here? We're doing the wrong thing, or are you just playing a game with us? Fine.
He said, yet your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them, and I am of the witnesses to this.
Oh, really? Did Abraham saw Allah create the heaven and the earth? Does Muslim have any logic when he reads these verses? Abraham was a witness of the creation of the heavens and the earth? You mean Abraham was there before the creation of the heavens and the earth? See, the problem with Islam, with the Muslim people, Christy, that they use so many words and they have no idea what the word means. So the word witness here, what does the word witness mean? They don't know. Why? Because if they know what the word witness, they will not keep that word in the Quran. They will take it out. When Muslims say five times a day, أَيْشْهَدُ أَنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. You know what he's saying? I bear witness, the word shahideen here, the same word Muslims say every day. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. How can a Muslim man with logic, with common sense, not a drunk, not under the influence of alcohol or drugs or some substance, no, a normal person, How can a Muslim, an educated man, say, I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? Have he seen the whole world, the whole universe, all the time, and he know for sure that there is no God except Allah? Have he seen Muhammad, heard Muhammad, smell Muhammad, touch Muhammad, taste Muhammad? Of course, he knows nothing about Muhammad, and he knows nothing about the true God of the Bible. But he repeats this word without thinking, ashadu, I bear witness. They are witness of something they have never seen. We Christians believe, not bear witness. We believe, and Hebrews 11 teaches that to believe is to trust in things you have not seen, and hope for things you look and have the hope and the faith of things coming in the future, not here. That is what is faith is. And an iman, who was thiqa bimurja, you know for sure of something you hope for, wal iqam bimurtlatura, and you know for certain things you did not see. That is faith. But to bear witness, that's a different story. So here Abraham is telling his family, telling his people, that he is a witness of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. No, you're not. You can't. Because you are not there. And listen to this verse. 57.
And I swear by Allah, I will surely lay a plot against your idols after you turn your backs.
Wow. He swear by Allah that he would destroy their gods, their idols, after they leave. Okay, next verse, 58.
So he made them pieces, except the biggest of them. Perhaps they may return to it.
Perhaps? You mean they're going to stop worshiping? Maybe they will come back to check on their idols, or maybe not. That's a dumb statement here, perhaps. There's no reason for perhaps. It should have logic. And the only reason Abraham did not break the biggest idol, because he knows they're going to come back and he's going to mug them some more. And in reality, this is a made-up story taken from the Bible about another gentleman by the name Gideon. Not Abraham, Gideon. But somehow Muhammad was confused between Abraham and Gideon, because in reality, when Abraham left Ur al-Kildanin, the city of Kildanin, Babel, in Iraq, he did not break any god. Not the small one, not the middle-sized one, not the big one. He did not damage any god. The one who broke the god is Gideon in the Bible, not Abraham, as we read here in the Quran. So let's go to the next verse, Christy.
Let's see. They said, who has done this to our gods? Surely he is of the unjust.
Surely you're stupid. Read verse 57. Listen to what Abraham told you. I swear to Allah, I will destroy your gods after you turn around and go to work or go eat or go use the bathroom or something. You leave here, I'm going to destroy you. Now you really need to ask the question, who did that to our God? Are they really that stupid? Abraham, who told you just a couple minutes ago, I'm going to destroy them. Same story repeated was read it in a previous passage of the Quran.
Yeah. They said, we heard a youth speak of them. He is called Abraham.
Oh, young man. His name is Abraham. When Abraham left, he was not a young man. He was 60-some years old, 70 years old, Christy. I mean, young man was what? He was like 10 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old?
We'd like to think that.
but it's just the whole idea, Muhammad is making it up.
Yeah.
Muhammad is making it up. And it does not make any sense because it does not fit with the biblical teaching. Okay, forget about it. Young man, he was 60-some years old, almost 70 years old. He's still a young man. A married young man, 60 years old. Go ahead. Next verse.
They said, so bring him before the people's eyes. Perhaps they may witness.
Witness on what? He did it when there was nobody there. Christy, I'm telling you, Muhammad does not know what the word witness means. That word has no meaning. It's like a foreign word. That people are going to witness that he is the one who breaks the idols. Bring it so they can all look at it. Oh, yeah, he is the one who breaks the idols. No. You don't have any proof. In a court of law, when something like this happened, there's no camera in Abraham's days. You know that? There's no technology. Nobody took a picture of him breaking the idols. Nobody. So, but he told them he's going to do it. They left. They came back, and behold, the whole idols are broken. Now they're going to bring people as a witness. No, go to verse 62. Let's go to the rest of the comment of Muhammad in the Quran.
They said, "Have you done this to our gods, O Abraham?"
Wow. Did he do that, Abraham? Oh, no, I didn't do it.
He said, "Yet their biggest did it. So ask them if they were speaking."
Oh, I did not break this god, all these gods. But the biggest idol, the one standing there, the one is full in strength and health, the one who is not damaged yet, is the one who did it. Go ask him. He will, if he can tell you, he will tell you. Go ahead.
So they returned to themselves. So they said, "Surely you are the unjust."
Wow. رجعوا إلى أنفسهم فقالوا إنكم أنتم الظالمون. يا سلام يا سلام. Wonderful. Why? Because they found out that God, the worship cannot talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Then they hung down their heads. Quote, "Indeed, you know that those cannot talk."
Yep, the idols cannot talk. Mm-hmm. Yep. Logic, common sense. Go ahead, Christy.
He said, "Do you serve without Allah that which does not profit you anything nor harm you?"
What kind of worship is that? Statues made out of wood, made out of rock, made out of some items? Uh-huh. Next verse.
"Oof to you and what you serve without Allah. Do you not understand?"
Yep, you don't understand. Mm-hmm.
They said, "Burn him and help your gods if you were doing."
Once again, how can they help their gods when it's already crushed? They're all destroyed. You help somebody when he's still alive, when he still exists. When he's gone, you cannot help him. But burn him. And by the way, when you read the, in my book, Chrissy, you have read that, I know for sure, about the story of Abraham, the chapter about Abraham, and how they made this big, big fire to burn Abraham. You're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, years of collecting wood. Because some of the ladies, they made promise to Allah, "Oh Allah, oh Allah," the gods they worship, not the true Allah, okay? The false gods. "If you make me pregnant, if I get pregnant and have a baby boy, I will surely carry wood for the fire of Abraham." And behold, she got pregnant and she have a boy and she fulfilled her promise. She carried wood and all the wood. I mean, you're talking about months and months to burn Abraham. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It was a huge fire, Christian. All these people made the promise to their gods that they're going to carry wood for Abraham, all, and it was big fire. To the point that the people who threw Abraham to the fire, they were burned, like the story in the Bible. You know, the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego,
yeah.
And in Babel. Okay, same story, but they make it from Muhammad. The Muslim scholars take it from the biblical story of the three young men to Abraham. Anyway, so now...
So it's Abraham in a big fire. Oh,
God. So crazy. His mama, she went to check on him, Christy. Oh, Abraham, are you still alive down there? Instead of the king, you know, in the Bible, it's his mama. Okay? It's a little bit different, but it's a good story. So he said, yes, mama, I'm okay. Well, can you ask your Lord, your Allah, to make the fire not hot so I can come and visit with you? Sure, mama. Sure. Oh, Allah, make the fire. Okay, come on in, mama. Well, I would like to have a cup of hot tea with you, son. Come on in, mama. Would love to have you. Says mama, go inside the fire to visit with him, making hot tea with him in the fire. Please verse 69. You can laugh.
Read 69. We said, "O fire, be cold, and peace on Abraham."
You know how many preachers, Muslim scholars, talk about and peace on Abraham? They said, if Allah said, "Oh fire, be cold,"
so far, because Abraham will die frozen in the fire. But Allah, in his wisdom and his love, he said, be cold and peace, so it will not harm Abraham as a cold fire. Have you ever heard of a cold fire, Christy?
No, I haven't.
That's what Allah talk about in the Quran. By the way, Muhammad, in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, hated the lizard. You know why, Christy? He killed all the lizards. You know why?
Because they wouldn't bring water.
Exactly. All the birds, ladies and gentlemen, all the birds, all the creatures, all the animals carry waters on their wings, in their mouths, in their hands, or whatever, and they throw water on the fire of Abraham so the fire will stop, except the lizard. The lizard used to blow. You know, when you blow on a fire, it gets hotter and hotter. That's exactly what the lizard did. Wait a minute. If Allah said, oh, fire, be cold and peace, does that mean Allah needs the birds and the ants and the all these creatures to carry water for Abraham, or what?
I have no clue. It's all so crazy. Yusama, we're almost out of time.
Oh, no. Read the last verse. Read the last two verses. Go ahead.
Okay, last two verses. And they sought to lay a plot against him, but we made them the losers.
Yep, next 171, 172.
And we delivered him and Lot to the land which we blessed in it to the world.
Wait a minute. Was Lot with him in the fire, or Lot was outside waiting until he came out of the fire?
I don't know, because the Quran's too confusing to know that.
Okay, keep going. Last verse, 72.
And we granted him Isaac and Jacob as extra, and we made them both doers of good.
Man, oh man, don't you love the story of Abraham? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the end of Abraham. We're not even halfway through yet. We're on page 14 out of 33 pages of notes. We're not halfway through, and the rest is yet to come. Well, Christy, thank you so much for producing our show for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who are listening to us by the phone or those who are sitting online, those who are chatting, God bless you all.
Where are you speaking?
Oh,
tell us quick.
Tomorrow I'm speaking in Sunrise Baptist Church. And I know that I promised you I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be speaking today. And believe it or not, something happened here. And I forgot to tell you, Christy, where I'm going to be speaking. It is the address. The address of the church is, here it is, 13560 North Highway 5, Sunrise Beach in the Lake of the Ozark. Once again, 13560 North Highway 5, Sunrise Beach in the Lake of the Ozark. I'm speaking tomorrow morning at 9:45, and the service in the morning, and the service in the evening at 6 o'clock, and Monday evening at 6:30. If you are close by, please come in. I would love to see you. God bless you all. Wonderful, wonderful good night, and have a great day for you tomorrow. Thanks,
okay,
Christy.
God bless you all. Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.